This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week. On the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR, here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
You know, Doc, we had a very special guest last week in Alfredo Gutierrez, and we didn't have time to get into it because we had such a rich discussion, but we would be remiss not to speak of one of the legends of Arizona. I don't know if I want to say an icon because there's a bit of a scandal in there as well. Charles Keating passed away, and I wanted to sit down and talk to you about that because we're in Arizona, and he defined a lot of Arizona politics.
Huge, huge figure, not only in Arizona politics, but in the intersection of politics and business.
Right, and nationally as well.
We have forgotten American Continental was a huge home builder in this town. A whole lot of people live out in Mesa in Keating-built homes. There's a Keating Drive out there in the middle of Mesa. He was a huge national figure, but he really became a national figure in an unsavory way when what was known as the Keating Five hit. And what the backstory on that was, he was engaged in some very questionable maneuvers financially. He bought up a savings loan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's a regulated thing. You give out FDIC loans and you don't engaged in wild speculation with that money. Well, when a lot of these folks who had their retirements built on these FDI certificates of deposits, they'd go into the bank to renew, and the clerk would be instructed to tell them, "Well, we have these bonds that we can tell you. It's not FDI assured. It's better than that. And it pays more interest." And those turned out to be junk bonds.
Sure.
And they ultimately went under. People lost fortunes. It was $4.3 billion. But that's getting ahead of the story. The regulatory agencies started to get wind of his practices and started investigation. And Charlie Keating was somebody who had ensconced himself to politicians all over the country. And he brought together five United States senators to show up to a meeting. They included two of our own, Senator Dennis DeConcini, who was here a few weeks ago, Senator John McCain, and three others, Cranston from California, I believe Regal from Michigan, and John Glenn. And he basically asked the senators to intervene on his behalf with federal regulators, which was a serious, serious no-no. This thing hit the fan, and these five senators all ended up in deep, deep trouble. And in this state, I can tell you the side of this that got personal is my company, O'Neill Associates, right in the middle of this, did a poll on the reelectability of Senator DeConcini and Senator McCain, because they were both current senators at the time. And it showed that Senator DeConcini's career was over, and Senator McCain's career was hanging by a very thin thread. He was higher than DeConcini, but he was in about as deep trouble
as anybody
ever. If you had asked 20 political consultants what his future was, 19 probably would have said he's dead. So anyway, this poll gets a great deal of publicity. There was one day when I must have done 20 media interviews. And it's kind of, in retrospect, an amusing story. So I'm telling the story over. I'm asking the same questions. I'm giving the same answers. And after you do that enough times, at some point, you start to feel like a trained SEAL. So the very last interview of the day comes up with a little radio station known as KTAR.
I've heard of that joint.
Yeah, and they ask me the same questions. And I'm starting to feel like a trained SEAL. And spontaneously, I try to figure some colorful way to describe the difference between DeConcini's predicament and McCain's.
Okay.
And the the spontaneous image that I came up with, I said, well, it's like DeConcini got shot five times through the heart and McCain only got shot through the heart once.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And not thinking that, well, wait a minute, if he got shot through the heart once, he's equally dead.
Yeah.
That wasn't quite what I was wanting to say.
Well played.
So upshot is McCain went ballistic. They put us on the air side by side. And it was an unequal encounter because, let's try to be discreet about how to put this, but I sort of ended up with a new one.
Right.
His temper is famous, and His anger is legendary, and I, at this point, had been on the receiving.
You felt the wrath of that.
I felt the wrath of that in a very public way, and I was kind of mousy because I'm, frankly, intimidated. I'm a youngish guy back then, and this is a United States Senate. As I told friends, I said, well, at least I'm getting a higher class of enemies here. Nice. So that, by the way, explains why Senator DeConcini has been a guest on this show. Senator McCain may never be.
I don't know if
he holds a grudge.
I would like to invite the good senior senator from the great state of Arizona. If we'd like to reenact that, I would love to watch.
Anyway, what happens is McCain played this situation brilliantly.
Really? Okay.
I mean, he was on the edge of life support. But what happened
politically?
Politically. Okay. What happened after that was the Gulf War. And all of a sudden, John McCain is available to talk to CNN or any media outlet anywhere about absolutely anything on this planet except Charlie Keating. And it is the beginning of what I have described as the second best resurrection in the last 2,000 years.
Nice.
He pulled himself slowly, and it's easy to forget because he's ascended to a really seminal figure. But
right.
He was hanging by a thread there for
he
a while.
He ran for president.
My analogy was only off by, I should have said the heart got nicked or something.
Right, yeah.
It was a bad analogy, but in terms of a political analysis, it was very, very close. I mean, nobody thought that he would survive that situation.
Is he the only one that escaped without harm?
Yeah, it was the end of career for all the rest of them.
Odd, you know, you walk in, what year was that? Give me the
years.
That
was in the late 1989, maybe.
Okay.
It was just prior to Gulf War, which I think was 90.
Weren't they just caught with their hand in the jar? They're not the only ones that get into this type of thing.
Political figures,
taking it to stepping in to intervene for corporations, bundlers, whatever it is.
To actually get a meeting, to summon five United States senators to act on your behalf, that the optics of that, I think, are
unprecedented. I agree with the optics. They were just caught.
They were caught, and it was public, and it was all in one meeting. And I think in a more everyday discourse, it might be done through staff. And ultimately, $4.3 billion. Hundreds and thousands of people lost their retirement money. So there were real live victims who were screaming, who lost their life savings due to Charlie Keating. That played into this as well. That's why it was a big, big deal.
I want to get into local politics and how Charles Keating played into local politics. We'll step away from a national level, go local here. More on Charles Keating right here in the Think Tank on Newstalk 92.3 KTAR. Don't
forget. You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Hey, check it out. Dr. Mike O'Neill has figured out the Twitter machine. You can find him at Michael J. O'Neill. It's at Michael J. See, if you gave me notes, you didn't even have the at sign there.
That was implicit.
No, it's not. But I'm proud of you for figuring out the Twitter machine. You can check
I do so sparsely, but with great thought.
Okay, you can also find him in MikeO'Neill.org and O'NeillResearch.com. Talking Charles Keating, I wanted to go into local politics and how he impacted local politics prior to becoming the Keating and the Keating Five.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, I've sat in on many, many formative political meetings in the 80s. And when you get together, and this is the sad thing, true then and true now, probably more so now, but you have an incipient political campaign, and the first question everybody asks at every meeting like that is, how are you going to raise the money?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing in the 80s anybody of either party would say is, well, let's go to Charlie Keating.
Of either party.
Absolutely. Keating spread his money. I asked Alfredo last week. He said he never got any Keating money, but he must have been the only guy in town who did. Because he spread his money around. And in fact, I had forgotten this quote, but Montini last week had a column about this, and he referenced to a quote when a newspaper reporter, asked Keating, well, you know, did you buy influence? And Keating's response was, well, I certainly hope so.
Right. I think he was asked, did the money you gave, did the money you donated buy influence? And
I certainly hope so. He was unabashed about it.
Right.
So Essentially, there was a lot of money that was floated around to every side on every campaign. The money flowed freely. They had secretaries working for $100,000. I know one personal friend was a woman who encountered Charlie Keating in a social event.
Mm-hmm.
And on the spot, and after nothing more than a few minutes conversation, he offered to triple her salary. So people there got paid real well. What we found out years later was it wasn't his money. That was all that money.
Right.
All those retirees and all that bond money. So Charlie Keating was a figure that whose influence it's difficult to underestimate in terms of his influence on local party politics in the roughly in the 80s and the early 90s. Mm-hmm. There was Charlie Keating money anywhere. If Charlie Keating wanted look. I couldn't think of another person in American politics who could have gotten five United States senators from three different states to sit down.
That's pretty impressive.
I mean, four different states. Yes.
Yeah, right. That's
Arizona was the only duo, and I mean, they probably won't make him like that again. I mean, he loomed
right.
large.
Okay, now he spread his money around.
Yeah.
After Mr. Keating spreading his money around, the campaign finance people got word. Kind of became wise to this and put a lock on it.
Well,
because of Keating,
the
correct?
Keating scandal was an immense scandal,
mm-hmm.
and the public reaction was, "This is awful. This is buying our politics."
Can't have this, right?
And in particular, John McCain, who had been singed by this, he was given a reprimand. He was the light. All the five senators, four of them, lost their jobs, got varying degrees of sanctions. McCain got the least serious sanction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my personal judgment, I'd love to have him here to ask him about this, but my personal judgment is that he felt like his integrity was impugned and he was looking for a way to, a kind of a way out of that. And as I am convinced, as a direct result of this, became one of the strongest advocates of campaign finance reform. And McCain-Feingold, John McCain, and Senator Russ Feingold
now
from Wisconsin, Democrat,
yeah.
got together, nonpartisan, and implemented one of the major campaign finance reforms in the early 90s, and the last remnants of which are in the process of being basically taken apart by the Supreme Court.
Well, a few of those, about a week and a half ago, a few of those were taken away. They didn't limit the cap that you could, I'm sorry, they kept intact the cap that I can donate. Let's say Mike O'Neill is running for Congress,
yep.
and I can give you $2,600.
Yep.
Period. End of story. That did not change.
And if you listen to another one of our guests, Paul Bender, he says that one's next.
Well, okay. Yep. But as it stands now, the Supreme Court kept that intact, but they didn't.
But they now said, but you can do that to an unlimited number of candidates.
As many you can go. Let's just title it then. You can go Keating on the place. Okay. Yep. You can get Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Green Party, Libertarians, whoever you want to give it to. You can keep giving all the money you want. You can buy everybody.
And that's actually the smallest part of it, because that's direct contributions to a campaign. Right now, you can, because of Citizens United, give unlimited money to an independent expenditure group on behalf of any candidate, and you can,
yes.
and even worse, you can hide the source of that money. So there will be a group called Citizens for Good Government or some other name
for
like
puppies
that.
And little kids,
right?
And
puppies and little kids and all things good, given by through an intermediate group called Citizens for Even Better Things. But the ultimate source of the money is not known, and that's probably the worst part of it. You don't know where the money comes from.
And these are what are known as PACs, correct? These political action committees.
That's a related entity.
Okay.
I mean, you can give money to candidates. You can give money to PACs. These are independent expenditure committees, which is a little bit different from a PAC. Independent expenditure committee actually spends the money. PACs often collect and distribute it. They're all part of this constellation of entities that exist largely as evasions to the remaining pieces of campaign finance reform.
This is a side question. I just know you know the answer, so I'm gonna throw this out to you. For those of us that hear it all the time and just kind of scratch our head, but we for the most part, we blow right by it. When we hear Senator so-and-so in town or President Obama in town or whoever's in town, at a $10,000 a plate dinner, this kind of thing. What is that? Are those political action committees that are doing
those
this?
Those could be any of a range of those.
And there's no cap on that.
No. But actually, the worst part of that, and this is where the senators and congressmen will tell you they themselves hate it, they now spend, by most estimates, 80% of their time fundraising.
Ugh.
And it's because there's no limits on everything, and you just have to, they say they have to do it to survive. It's not to survive. They have to do that to raise so much money that nobody will dare run against them.
What does this do? Does this take us back to the Keating days, the Supreme Court ruling a week and a half ago? Does this take us back to the time where we can just buy influence? The wealthy votes count. My vote doesn't.
I think the differences between the Keating era and now are really minuscule and about to be blown away, because you can do it all through independent. You just can't give $1 million to a congressional campaign, but you can give $10 million to an independent campaign that will make sure that guy wins.
In the spirit of the Keating Five, how do we rein it in? How do you undo that? How do you get the toothpaste back in the tube at this point?
With the current Supreme Court, I don't know that that's possible, because the court has equated that, I think, in my mind, falsely, but they've said that's free speech.
Yes. And how is that free speech? So what you're saying is that other people in this world, and when I say the other people in this world, I mean those with bigger bank accounts than mine, they have more free speech than I do?
Yep.
That's
what the Supreme Court says. And I mean, what can you do? In the interim, probably the only thing you could do, if you could get Congress to go along with it, total 100% disclosure of everything. At least you could know where the money came from.
Okay. So that's
not the intermediate money, but where the money originally came from. You know, who was the original contributor? Because right now they go through a couple of shell groups.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
With good names.
Yes.
That, we don't care about that. And right now they'll report that. The money came from Citizens for Good Government. We care where the original contributor was. Who is trying to get something from the government that contributed to this? We don't know that.
Why do we not get in? This seems like a profitable business, Doc. I think you and I need to talk about this off air. I think we need to start a political action committee called Citizens for Good.
All things good.
Puppies and rainbows and whatnot. Hey, we got to take off. We got a short, another short show. But I do like our talks, Doc. I really appreciate it. On behalf of Dr. Mike O'Neill, I'm Mike Russell, right here in the Think Tank on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.